I just did.
Who else is on?
It's Ginny.
Ginny is on the phone. And just a reminder, you guys, in order for anybody to hear you, you have to turn your microphone on. Otherwise, Ginny can't hear you on the line.
And you can't record you.
Are you ready?
Yep. Is that thing ready too?
Yeah, everything's good too.
Very good.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's 6 p.m. This is the City of Unalaska Planning Commission and Planning Board regular meeting, Thursday, July 21st, 2022. Can I get a roll call, please?
Sir Williams?
Here.
Swangle?
Here.
Marquez is on vacation. Bagley is excused. Hatfield? Ginny?
I'm here.
All right. You have three members. You have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. So we have swearing in of planning commissioners. Is this something we've been slacking on? Or
what? Apparently so. But I think normally we have to do it with the clerk.
We
do it. So we need to schedule time to have you guys be sworn in.
Okay. Okay. And all of us, right? So we probably want to do it when we had a full crew. Okay. All right. We're going to skip by this. Any revisions to the agenda tonight?
There are none from staff.
Okay. I have something I wanted to just bring up. I don't know how appropriate it is. It has to do, just wanted a discussion, basically a quick item on the record about the roads where they've been dug through to put the utilities in and such. And just a couple spots I wanted to put in some opinions of people that have been coming to me and complaining about what we can do. So I'm, just wanted to have a quick little chat about that, if I can add that on there. So we'll have to have a second to my motion. Can I get a second to add this to the agenda under work session? All right. Well, if I don't get a second, I guess it won't get on the agenda. So
let's just talk about it after, see what you're doing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hearing no other revisions, the agenda is approved. Any appearance request? We have nobody on the phone.
We have nobody on the phone right now, and we don't have any customers.
What's the commissioner? Case
people.
Guests.
Our guests are here for the case.
Holy cow.
It's okay. We'll work.
The applicant is present.
Boy.
Yeah, we're having.
We're rusty, are we?
We have some members of the public here tonight, and nobody else on the phone. Any announcements?
I have one good announcement and one bad announcement. We have the good one in the audience tonight. Is Terry, our new administrative assistant? She's sitting out there with her bodyguard. And then we have one person departing the staff. Cameron has announced he's moving his family to Anchorage, and his last day is the 5th. So we'll be looking for a GIS administrator.
You'll be back.
Well, welcome, Terry. It's great to have you. And, bummer we're losing Cameron here. And just about time you're getting all settled in and figuring stuff out, I'm sure. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks. Really enjoyed working with you all on the commission. So,
thanks.
I'm just doing this.
All right. The minutes were included in your packet from the June 16th, 2022 meeting. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at those. Is there any corrections to the June 16th minutes?
None from staff.
Okay, hearing none and no objections, we'll consider the minutes from June 16th approved. Public hearing item number one, resolution 2022-08, a resolution approving a conditional use permit for a commercial diving and welding storage garage at 104 Choate Lane, Lot 5, Creekside Estates, Amundson Edition Subdivision. I guess this is a good opportunity if you guys wanted to say anything on this item, the public, this is their opportunity to speak. As well as once we bring it up, you guys will have an opportunity to speak again.
Could you add that on to your the current site description?
I'm sorry?
What do you want us to add on to?
No, it's just an opportunity for the public to speak on the agenda item is all. It's okay. You guys don't have to say anything if you don't want to. So, okay. Moving on. There is no old business, so we're going to jump right into the new business. The one item, again, is the resolution 2022-05, a resolution approving a conditional use permit for commercial diving and welding storage garage at 104 Choate Lane, Lot 5, Creekside Estates, Amundson Edition Subdivision. Can I get a motion and a second to adopt this resolution? I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2022-05. Can I get a second?
This is Jenny, I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Discussion, staff?
Go ahead. Read it in.
Okay, so this is resolution 2022-08, a resolution approving conditional use permit for commercial diving and welding storage garage at 104 Choate Lane, Lot 5, Creekside Estates. So this application was primarily driven by having received complaints. Mr. Parker operates Ironside Welding out of his truck and on the dockside, and currently uses the garage at 104 Choate Lane as his storage area for his industrial use. So where we stand on this right now is that we looked at what our single-family district code allows, and it does not allow industrial uses by right. So it's a conditional use application that's going to be necessary. Going through our general provisions, we do have a home occupation provision, and this is where we fall into needing a conditional use as well, because these are for industrial uses inside a residential area. And this basically gives us a framework for our resolution. So going into it, our housing, from our plan guidance, our housing is identified as a need in the community visions for the future from 2009 and the Unalaska 2020 visioning document. But in our comprehensive plan, the primary action number 4 is to make land available for business and industry, and secondary action number 4 is to attract more local skilled building contractors and professional service providers. Ironside Welding falls under that professional service provider category. The land use plan, however, calls for an overall increase in single-family duplex housing in the Valley and East Broadway sub-area, and mixed use and industrial storage is recommended to go down as more and more of the area is developed. So that is the plan guidance. As far as the background goes, this use has been in use for approximately 2 years now. At least it's been a year and change. There's been minimal incidents. We had a neighbor complaint, which is inside your packet, from Mr. Kevin Wood, who complained that Mr. Parker was playing music and welding outside in the driveway. Aside from that, the other complaint is that there is a industrial use in a residential zone, and that's what initiated the process. It should be noted that complaint was filed by a competing business owner as well. The planning department is acting on these complaints, and this is why this is in front of you. And the application is a chance to apply special conditions to how the business is run on the site if you choose to approve this resolution and you choose to approve the conditional use. The goal is, and with the conditions that are on the application, that this continues to be solely used for storage. No work is to be done on the yard. It should look like a residential house. There shouldn't be any additional signs or any additional work outside that should impact the neighborhood. And that's what we've put in those conditions in the resolution. As far as tests of code, the first test being that it furthers the goals and objectives of the comprehensive and development plan. It meets the comp plan's action number 4 and secondary action number 4 regarding business and industry and professional service providers. You have to weigh that against the land use plan, which is a subsection of the comprehensive plan. So that is one of those places where, as that area gets built out and the Broadway area basically covers everything from where the Methodist Church is all the way to the end of Stewart Road. So it's a very large, large area. This is a very, very small increase. We're talking 0.1% or less. So it's a minimal change in what is already existing to begin with. So looking at that lot, it is also already built out as a duplex. You have a small cabana house, and then the garage is built into another single unit house as well. So it's already built out to 2 units as far as it can be on that lot anyways, so this is a full mixed use. We find that it is, with the conditions associated with it, it can be compatible with the neighboring houses in the neighboring neighborhood, the rest of the neighborhood. And as far as not having a permanent negative impact substantially greater than anticipated from future development, it is not anticipated that, provided this structure continues to be used in such a manner that it's solely taking things out of the truck, put them inside the house, take stuff out of the house, put it inside the truck, and then the truck goes out and does work somewhere else, then there shouldn't be any additional issues here in the use of the property. So staff finds that all 3 of the tests are passed. I remind Planning Commission that you do have the option to change, add the conditions that we have recommended. You can change the wordings, the hours of operation. These are all within your purview so that you can protect the overall neighborhood. You have the conditions on page 5 of the staff report. They're listed there. This is only going to approve, it's only going to apply to the building as it stands right now. So if there's any changes in development, anything's added to the building, anything is changed in the building, then they need to come back for a new conditional use permit. Hours of operation are modeled on our home occupation code, but they are a little bit more limited to as a draft to give you the show you that you have the ability to do that, but also because, I mean, it being a residential neighborhood, people trying to sleep, people trying to work, you know, during the day, we're trying to make sure that that's a amicable set of hours for everyone on the lot. Number 3 comes out of, it's an emphasis of single family code. Storage of flammable gases must be kept in accordance with industry best practices, state fire marshal regulations, and OSHA regulations. If you'll note, in single family code, under special provisions, L3, storage of flammable materials, hazardous materials, toxic waste on site shall be allowed only in strict compliance with federal, state, local laws and regulations. So we are just re-emphasizing that with the condition here. And then number 4, storage is to be confined to the interior of the structure. The only external evidence that this work and storage shall be on the iron sights welding truck in the driveway. So this, the whole goal of that item is to make sure that this is used solely for storage. And then I have a drafted number 5 that is on the resolution as attached to the packet and was added after the staff report was written. The site is solely to be used for storage. No commercial activities are permitted on the premises. So with that, I can turn it over to, we have our applicants here. We have one of our complainants is here. And from there, we'll let you guys do.
All right, thank you for that. I have several questions as well as some comments. Before I ask my fellow commissioners if they have anything before I start, though I do have something here. So in the resolution itself here, you have the Planning Commission held a public hearing on July 14th, or was that supposed to be today's date?
That is supposed to be today's date.
Okay, so just note that the public hearing for this resolution, it is today, July 21st. So, Jenny, do you have any comments or questions?
No, I was going to point out the date as well. And no, I trust staff on this and approval.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions?
I do. Before we agree to this, I would like to see the property all cleaned up. If he says it's not his stuff. So I would like to see whoever owns the property have it cleaned up, all those bottles, everything that does not...
That's a different
lot. Well, it's close to his, right? So, I mean, that he wants to use. But anyway, I'd like to see it, you know, the bottles cleaned up and stuff. I mean...
We've been trying for 2 years now to clean the entire property,
Julianne. I'm sorry, Julianne, for the record, can you chat with the mic so we can...
All of Choate Lane, as you can see, is chaos. There's three different lots there, and then we have Dolly Bar with all the containers. The Planning Commission has been working with us, and we've been trying to pick it all up, but we're in a catch-22 because we have no place to put all the metal. So all those bottles, all those cars, a lot of them have been removed from this picture. We're waiting on, hopefully, Trident to ship them out, but there's no way to dispose of any of these. But since I became the owner of this, it's been cleaned up immensely. Where the bottles are, they've been there for 20 years. They're old bottles. They're on a separate lot from the lot that we're talking about. So they're right next to that, where your finger is right now. They're right in there. I think that little yellow thing is right there. That's the bottles that people were complaining about. That is nowhere near the shop. They've been there for 20 years. I'm due diligence on trying to clean this up. I think it looks horrible. Dolly Bar has cleared a lot. I've cleared a lot. Most of my metal is all in a pile now. And we're trying. We just don't have a place to put it. Nobody will take it. I had arrangements with the metal guys here 2 years ago, prepaid them, and then they ended up selling their business, and I'm out that money. And I have no way to discard any of this. There's two big tractors on there. All those vehicles have been removed, besides the two containers, the white van, and there's a big pile of metal that I've collected from a lot of all the properties there, and I am willing to pay anything to get rid of them, but nobody will take them. So I don't know what to do. So the planning has came up with hopefully that we can get Trident to ship them out on these three barges that are coming in empty, leaving Dutch Harbor empty. And I don't know where that process is right now, but they say it's in the works.
Thank you for that. I appreciate your efforts. I'm sure the neighbors do as well. Commissioner Williams, do you have any other comments or questions?
Nope. I just wanted to make sure that their hours of operation were while people were awake and at work and not at night, you know, banging around and stuff. I mean, we have
a problem. Yeah. I agree with that. Just to be clear, though, I believe the city's ordinance, noise ordinance, is it 07 to 2200? Is that? I believe it is 10 o'clock. And so.
That it is. I mean, this is a conditional use permit request, so you can impose conditions that may vary from those.
But it's quite clear in this resolution that he's not to do any kind of activities that would be any kind of outdoor type of, you know, construction or such. It seems to me, in my opinion, that just being able to pull the vehicle in and out of the driveway or an opening and closing the garage to access should be the same as anybody in the neighborhood to, you know, access their equipment. So I would personally like to see it 07 to 2200, which is 10 p.m. rather than the 8, just because it seems to restrict him even just going out to open and close the garage or park his vehicle. I mean, it's clear in the resolution that he's not supposed to be doing any kind of grinding or noise making. It would be the same with if somebody was playing music, you know, once 10 o'clock comes around and it's, you know, somebody's going to call the cops or something. So I personally would like to see it changed till 10 p.m. I don't know how my fellow commissioners feel about that. Ginny, do you have any input on that particular item? I'm sorry, Ginny.
No, go sorry, ahead. I'm mute. I don't have any input. Sorry.
Okay. Commissioner Williams, what do you feel about switching that till 10?
I think it would be good at 8 o'clock because, you know, most people quit, you know. And you got kids and everybody up that way will be getting ready to go back to school shortly. So, you know, if there was no dwellings, you know, close by, I wouldn't have minded 10 o'clock, but, you know.
We have someone that wants to speak here. Go ahead.
There is no other dwellings around there. I own all three properties on both sides. It's pretty pathetic, that entire street, just the way that it got in that condition. But yeah, I own the right left side, the right side, and across the street. And then Dolly Bar's there, and then we have the longhouse, which is Archie's. There's no more residential past me, quote. So I would be very concerned about that with kids and whatnot. And I do request 10 o'clock because sometimes they work late and he parks his car there, he parks the truck there and he jumps in his car and he goes home. Which he only lives a block away anyway too, and so do I. I just want to really state that this is going to be kept like a residential. There's not going to be any changes. There's no signs. There's not people coming and going. Nothing. We've been operating for a while now, and there's been misconceptions on these complaints from those tanks and those bottles. But it is a different lot.
Thank you. Officer Wood, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm actually here as a citizen. I just got off work, so that's the reason why I'm in my uniform. Other than that, I would have changed. So I'm speaking as a resident on Choate Lane, which is directly next to the property that they're speaking about. Now, I've seen that garage door open, and I know that they've got a lot of industrial equipment in there to include oxygen tanks. They probably have acetylene tanks and various things. I used to be a welder. I know how dangerous those the oxygen and the acetylene is. It's extremely flammable. Not only that, it can blow up. And if that was the blow up and something was to happen, it would absolutely take out my property too. So I absolutely stand against this. And not only that, when you're talking about grinding and things like that, those noises are high in pitch, and absolutely they carry, and it's way beyond what a little a music or something's going to be. Not only that, you've got people that are building brand new properties or brand new homes on there. I plan on building something there too. And to bring in a business, a welding business, is, in my opinion, is 100% unacceptable. You've got Harbor Welding, you've got a couple of other welding places, and they are industrial areas, and that's where this needs to be. This is an industrial, this is a residential area. When Mr. McConnell owned it, that's where he lived. It was never ever designed to be any type of industrial complex. Not only that, if you want to look into what the city ordinances deal with as far as nuisance and scrap metal and all kinds of things, those properties are absolutely in violation of it. It's the same with Dolly Bars. Those properties need to be cleaned up. They sent out a letter last year. Someone had complained, I believe it was Miss Tucker here that complained about it. I within a month, I had my property cleaned up and I took care of my things. It's been now almost a year, and realistically, very little has been done on those properties. And it's a, you just got a bunch of junk that's piled up. They have the ability to take it over to the landfill, and if they can pay the price, whatever, for scrap metal, and they can turn it into the landfill, and then the landfill can take care of it from there. So these excuses that they're putting forth, they don't stand. It's a junk pile over there. They've got old acetylene tanks packed right next to oxygen tanks. I don't care. In industry standards, they are never supposed to be like that. There needs to be a separation of a minimum. I think it's either 20 or 40 feet between them. It's a hazard. It's a danger, and it can't stand like that. It's it's a nuisance. It's scrap metal, and it violates city ordinance, and those ordinances need to be enforced. This is ridiculous. I didn't spend my money to buy a piece of property to have it have a business come in next to me. It's wrong. And these people knew that it was residential, and yet they brought it in. The only reason why this is being sit here is they got caught doing it, and now they're trying to ask for some kind of a leniency on that. That's not how it works. Okay, if they wanted to apply for it, they did it. They should have done it in the first place. And if the city is doing its job, it's going to turn that out, because it should not be there. It's residential. They can go find there's plenty of warehouse space around. If they want to run their business, they can run it out of a warehouse space like the rest of these welding outfits are doing. So I am 100% adamant and stand against this. This is wrong. And as far as any kind of time frames for doing work, no, people get home at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening and have the ability of listening to loud noise and work taking place in there. Absolutely wrong. I stand against this. And the city needs to stand by its ordinances, and this should not even go forward in the least little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. So, yeah, I know that the Choate Lane has been kind of an eyesore for many years, and it's my understanding that the planning department has been trying to work on ways to apply some pressure. Our Title VIII here doesn't have a lot of teeth in the code, so I know that it has slowly been getting cleaned up over the years. I've been here long enough to see when Choate Lane was all filled in on that side, there used to not be any land there. That's all fill. And then, of course, the people over the years started piling stuff up, and it became a problem. But as far as this resolution that we're talking about, it's clear that this is to be used as storage only, and there's not actually to be a business ran there. It's just clearly storage. And as far as the combustible gases, it clearly states that they're not to be stored inside. You know, like a lot of vehicles around town, they may have oxyacetylene tanks on a vehicle. Which, as long as they're secured and they're portable, that is something that I've recently had to deal with OSHA, and that's actually legitimate. So As long as there isn't anything dangerous inside the structure, it's my understanding that the storage is not a problem. As far as back to the noise, because it is a residential property, and it, in my opinion, would be the same as anybody going out of a garage in their own home. You know, in my neighborhood, we have a guy up the hill that would run a dive compressor to compress air tanks, and this is for recreational diving, but they would run this compressor every weekend for hours on end. I guess I don't, he would never run it past 10 o'clock though, so I guess I didn't really have an issue with it. I have a question about, just curious, really, the city's development review team that's looked over this, so there's more opinions on this item. Is that the people that are CC'd in here in the email, or who is the city's development review team?
So the development review team is our building permit staff, it's our engineering department, fire department, and planning departments. That's combined effort.
Okay.
As far as this goes, they've seen it. There were no comments. We can kick this back to them if you want fire department to give a more, you know, do a more cursory review, or we can certainly, you know, go that route.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest we hear from the applicant.
Would you guys like to make some comments? Okay.
Just want to state, nothing has been brought in. Nothing is stored everywhere, as Mr. Wood says. Everything that is on there has been there since McConnell has been there, who ran his heating system out of there. But there will be no business run out of there. This is completely a storage facility. Everything is run out of the van. That's where the gases or the welder or whatever it is. There's no oxygen in that building, period. There's no explosives in that building, period. Yes, there is tanks on the next lot over that have been there for 20 years. I've been trying to get rid of them. Nobody will take them. And I don't feel comfortable go shooting a hole and dumping them in the sea. That's what everybody's telling me to do. I don't think that's the right thing to do. They need to be shipped off the island. The two big tractors and all the metal there. We can't put that at the landfill. We need it out of here. These are big, huge loaders. And, you know, we're limited here in our landfill. We need to get something for this town to get rid of all the scrap metal. But no scrap metal has been put on that property since I've owned it. None.
Thank you. Mr. Wood, yeah, go ahead.
So, she's right. There was a lot of scrap. Oh, let's see.
There you go.
Okay. So there was a lot of scrap metal that was on that property. That is true. The bottom line is it's up to the owners to take care of it. She is now the owner. That's her responsibility to take care of it. If it costs money to take over there to the landfill, hey, that's just part of it. That's what the rest of us have to do if we got stuff on our property. I had to take over stuff, and I had to pay at the landfill to get it taken care of, and that's the way it is. As far as storage for that place, I've saw that garage door open a few different times, and I know there's tanks that are being stored in there. And absolutely, there's also a compressor in there, like what you're talking for filling up the air tanks and things like that. So no, that's not just a little storage unit. They're actually utilizing it as a business. So what they're saying here is absolutely false. It needs to remain residential, and it shouldn't be a storage area whatsoever. The only thing that should be stored in there is maybe a vehicle and auto tools, like what most people put in a garage. That they can't be storing all their business things in there. That's absolutely wrong. They can go get a storage unit somewhere, and they can run their business out of there. And like I said before, if they wanted to do this in the first place, they should have came forward. They've been caught in it, and now they're just trying to play catch up on this whole thing. It's wrong, and the city needs to stand by its ordinances.
Thank you, Mr. Wood.
We did come to the city beforehand and told them what we were doing. I've talked to Tom, and what we were using it for. He said I probably didn't need it until we got these complaints. And then that's when this all came about. And jamming air, yes, we do jam air. It's air. It's not oxygen. It's nothing else. That's the only thing we do in there.
Thank you. Just to touch on the options for the business owner, I see in here the staff in the letter that was written to Mr. Parker. It says, please take the following steps to avoid the formal enforcement and abatement. And it kind of gives options in here. It says, move the business out of the current location of marine dependent industrial or marine related. Or apply for the conditional use permit. I would agree that in this community we are kind of limited to options across the board for businesses as well as residential for multiple reasons. So I guess the question I have to the staff is, general commercial property would not be included in that as an option?
No, the one 200 feet away, I suspect, was there before zoning, and we're not going to do a spot zone, not on a residential street. And this is a conditional zone. I mean, it's in effect allows something that otherwise may not be allowed, but there are conditions attached, and it's specific to then this business.
So when you say the other one that we're talking about, the other dived company that's on a general commercial, is that the one we're talking about? Or?
I don't know what Dusty's company is, but...
Oh, okay. That is a general commercial there. It's to my understanding that the other dive company is on a general commercial.
It's on Steward.
Yeah, it's zoned on my zoning map as a general commercial, so I was just curious what if that was an option. That's why I was asking. So... Is there any comments or questions from Ginny as we're going through this? Just wanted to check with you.
Thank you, Travis. I think I'm tracking and no comments or questions.
Okay. Ms. Williams, any comments or questions as we continue to go through this?
I do. I worked at Waterfront Welding for 18 and a half years. The only reason OSHA gave us an okay to have our welding gases in there was it was a concrete building. But if it wasn't concrete, we wouldn't have been allowed to have anything in there except the oxygen, and that would have been the only thing we had in there. But we have other bottles in there, and so... My concern is, what other bottles do you have in there besides the oxygen?
Yeah, well, good.
I'd like to hear from you, not her. You're the business owner. You're the one applying.
Mr. Parker.
Okay. So basically to answer Mr. Wood's concerns, the bottles inside the shop are CO2 and argon and breathing air scuba bottles. There's nothing explosive in there. I'm even willing to open it up right now and you guys could go and take a look. I don't even have a cutting rig in there. It's in the van. It's portable and it's fastened and secured. The compressor in there is a breathing air compressor. It's not explosive gas or anything of that nature. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned Waterfront Welding. He deals with a lot of gases. I'm not doing anything like that. you know, this will never be like a giant industrial shop. As I mentioned in my reply, it wouldn't support it. It's too small. So again, for the time being, this is just where I'm going to be, or I'd like to be, and until I could find something more suitable.
So, Mr. Parker, so just moving forward, I mean, this is kind of maybe a for now sort of thing. I mean, as your company, maybe as it grows, you're probably be looking, I'm sure, for a new home.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just that it was available and I needed a place to, you know, keep my belongings. And so that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I mean, the focus of talking about it like it's Alpha Welding or Waterfront, that's just, it doesn't even relate to what's going on in there. It's small. So that's it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. On that side, and then I own mm-hmm. the other house next to it, and then the other lot on the other side, and then the other on the big long house on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the surrounding neighbor.
Just hearing Mr. Parker's statements and seeing the pictures here and such and what's going on, obviously CO2 and argon, this is an inert gas, and the composition of air, breathing air, even compressed, is not explosive in nature. I don't see it as an issue personally. I am sympathetic to being in a residential area and, you know, excessive noises and things like this. I am sympathetic to that. I also live here in a residential neighborhood, which now has a chiropractor across the street with, you know, massive traffic influx. And, you know, I get it, though. I came in and actually spoke on the gentleman's behalf because I know it's difficult to find a place to set up business here. And so, you know, trying to find a balance here in the findings of the staff here, it's quite clear that if he violates these contingencies in here, that he's going to lose this conditional use permit. And so I'm going to say that I'm on board with this as long as these conditions aren't violated. I would again state that I feel that, considering the circumstances, I think that the time frame should be the same as anything else in the neighborhood on the island, which is 07 to 10 o'clock. I just feel it's kind of strange to set a special time that's different from everyone else in the community. And again, as long as there's no violations, I would support this. Is there any more questions or comments from our, from, okay, we got, go ahead, Mr. Wood. Jenny, I'll get to you in a second. I think you're trying to say
so
something.
So speaking about the chiropractic next to you, they closed down at 7:15 is when Jim Morris would leave the office. Okay. They didn't, were making a lot of noise, nothing going on. There was traffic that would come in and out of that. We're talking something completely different here.
I was relating to the amount of traffic to a commercial building compared to a residential one, that's all. I wasn't speaking specifically to the hours of operation.
All right. Still, that there's a commercial building up there. It's right next to your property. When you're talking about traffic, there is traffic coming in and out. Their hours, they close down by 7 or 7:30 at the very latest. And they're not susceptible to a bunch of noise from industrial. Not only that, these other companies they've set up shop in industrial areas, and that's where they should be setting up shop. And to just to make a correction here, that little house right next to the big place, sure, that is Miss Tucker's, but my property is right next to it, and there's less. And if you look at that container that's right there, that's 40 feet. Okay, that's 40 feet from my the edge of my property. So it is right there, and it does definitely affect me. The bottom line is, there's ordinances that are put into place. It's residential. There shouldn't be anything commercial. Those other properties, they need to be cleaned up, as such as what I've done. If you acquire a property, that a property becomes yours, and everything on it, that it becomes yours. That is your responsibility. If you don't want it, you can get rid of the property.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Jenny, were you trying to say something there? Go ahead, if you were.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say that I concur with what you were saying, Travis, that as long as they go along with the variance, and that I support it. But I think the 8 o'clock hour is okay, because it is different than the residential area being used. If it is operating as storage and business things, then it is different than what the noise is going to happen from the residences. So I think it is a different situation. So I think 8 o'clock, I support the 8 o'clock time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And so, just to the staff, I guess, just a little clarification then. So the on-site operation, what does that mean? I mean, can a guy still pull his vehicle in and out of the, you know, like, can you pull up there and park still? Or what is going to be considered on-site operation?
So I think just in listening to what Mr. Parker and reading his letter, I think, you know, the on-site operation means not coming and going, but if you're going to do anything in support of the business, there are like this grinding, running some compressor, that sort of thing, that's going to be, I guess, construed as a noise that's bothering someone down the street. Remember, some of the enforcement of these things is not, it's one thing to say we concur as long as, you know, it's the enforcement is there, but the enforcement is just, you're seeing the result of an enforcement action here right now. So just because it's in black and white doesn't necessarily mean it's easily enforceable. So
okay, so basically a nuisance issue. Right. Okay, thank you for that. All right, is there any other further comments or questions from commissioners?
Yeah, if they're going to be doing stuff like that, you know, it would be nice to see them file, the landowner file for a, you know, a commercial thing, like Officer Wood said, you know, it's a industrial.
So let me explain why I wouldn't support, as a planning director, a commercial designation. That would run with the land, and there are a whole host of uses that would drive people far crazier than the one we're talking right now. And it, you know, you go from having this as this dive shop, if you will, and suddenly you can sell it, and it's a beauty salon, or it's a convenience store, or it's any other kind of store. And now you've got an intrusion into a neighborhood that you can't impose any conditions on, because it's just general commercial. It's one of the reasons we really are not looking at expanding commercial down into the valley. We get a request, probably 4 or 5 of them, different types of investors or just property owners that are looking to make, you know, some money off their property or try and split it, and we just don't support it.
Any other questions or comments?
I still stand by 8 o'clock.
Okay, that's fair enough. All right. With that, can we get a roll call vote?
I want to be sure that I have who seconded. I have Travis made the motion to approve, and I have Ginny.
Ginny okay. Seconded, good, yes, you. Correct.
All right, so on the motion to approve staff recommendation for the CUP, I'll call Williams.
Yes, with the provision that we stay at 8 o'clock.
Yes, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. Swangle?
Yes.
Two aren't here. And Hatfield? Ginny. She might be on mute.
Ginny.
Is she off to get kicked off again?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. All right, so that motion carries 3-0.
Resolution 2022-05 passes with three votes.
With that, knowing that there is opposition, I have to tell you that these actions now are appealable. If you say it was denied and you guys wanted to appeal it, or now it's approved, you want to appeal it, you can appeal this to City Council. You have to give us a letter in writing within 10 business days.
How long do I have to do
that? 10 business days. Well, that's from our 2018 aerial.
Yeah, so all of the
real picture right now.
It might look really bad, but I have
it. Okay.
So this is pre-cleanup right now, and then this is the most recent, but even then, that's still old.
We have a work session item. Number one, notification of platting authority action, acceptance of preliminary plat of Hester subdivision number 2. This is a non-action item. Staff, please.
Yep. So you may remember 3 at this point, 2017, Rod Hester came to us to do this subdivision back in 2017. You had given, or the Planning Commission at the time gave him a variance for his flag lot in order to do this subdivision. Now that he had that variance, when he brought it back to us after he was approved for preliminary to go to final, pandemic happened, something happened with Segasur. We were never received a final Mylar of it to send to the recording for a final plat. So, we got a new copy of it. It was reviewed, redrawn, and because it's a simple split at this point after the already pre-existing after the pre-existing flagpole lot variance, so now it's just a simple plat for the planning director to approve as the platting authority. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, this is the time to make note of that. But
is this the lot that's being developed out there right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We received it. We signed off on it. Problem is the surveyor did not. So it had to go back to the surveyor for him to sign off on it. And then it'll come back to us to send to the recorder.
Okay. Any questions or comments, Jenny?
Which one is this again? Because I can't really hear you.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. I turned down the volume over there because everybody was super loud. Let me pull up the map.
So I heard you mumbling, but I didn't hear what lot and what they're asking for or what you're asking for.
Okay. So this is... We'll start from the scratch. Back in 2017, Rod Hester applied to do a subdivision. And when he did that subdivision, it came in front of Planning Commission because he needed to do a variance so that he could flagpole out the lot. So here's the Stewart Road Bridge on the north side. It's here's where Life Med parks their stuff right now. That's where they're staying. So it's this lot that Life Med is in. They're subdividing it down and across, and they're going to put a second house in the back. So what I'll show you is, oops, come on. Okay, it won't zoom in, but what you're looking at here, this is the wireframe drawing of it. That 20.42 foot front yard on the flagpole, you guys already gave him a variance for back in 2017. Variance runs with the land. It doesn't change. It's not like a conditional use that'll change when the next person moves in and starts doing something different. So because that was settled and you guys already approved the preliminary, Segasur never sent the final Mylar plat. So what ended up happening was it basically lapsed, and until now he's brought it back to us. because you've already dealt with the variance issue, it becomes a simple plat. And it's up to the platting authority, becomes the planning director, and he can administratively approve anything less than four, a division of anything less than four lots. So this is a notification to you guys that we've done that. Having done that, this is an opportunity for you to create a motion to reconsider and then take control of that process. I don't really see any reason that you would do that, but this is part of our process and this is part of the code, so this is an opportunity that you have. Beyond that, right now everyone has signed off on it except the surveyor. It has to go back out to the surveyor. He was supposed to sign it before he sent it to us. So we're in that kind of limbo where we're waiting for it to come back to us before we send it to the recorder's office for final approval. So this is where you guys get your chance to, step into the process. But
yes, thank you for that. Ginny, do you have any questions or comments on this?
It looks like we lost Ginny.
Oh. All right. Well, I guess it's a non-action item, I guess, or, well, you're saying if
they
we get
have a... I have a question. Do they have a driveway that goes to the second lot?
That flagpole, you see that branch, yeah. That is the driveway there. You can, if you drive out the valley, you can see they're working on the lot right now.
So this is the lot. That 20-foot driveway is going to run right through here, that 20-foot.
I know in the past it hasn't been, there's been, some people weren't exactly a big fan of the flagpole lots, but the city reduced the lot size years ago to promote development and growth, and so this is kind of what happens when you've got a piece of land that's big enough to separate, but yet skinny like this. And the only access is the one road frontage, so this is what happens in order to develop the land. So, personally, I'm not a real big fan of the small lots, but it is what it is. We need housing, so that's what it looks like. All right. Well, hearing no more questions or comments on this, we've moved through all the items on the agenda, and we are adjourned at 6:56 p.m. Thank you for coming, everyone. And Terry, thank you, Cohen. What's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas? Welcome.